Sort of.
Do you believe this morning? I see some people just like. I'm going to say it again. Do you believe this morning? There. I saw some lips move that were not moving previously. You know, we come together to worship corporately. Amen. It's not a show. It's not a, I stand here and perform and everybody just watches, right? And that's part of the reason why in my preaching over the past month and a half, I've asked so many questions. Today we may do that where we get to the end of the message and I turn around and ask you guys, well, what do you think? And what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And it gives me a chance to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, because that's important. And so as we worship together today, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would captivate our hearts, hold our attention, and teach us. If we'd all stand, I'm going to read scripture this morning. And as we stand, as we read God's word, if everybody would stand for the honor of God's word being read, I'm going to read it this morning nice and loud. This is the message based on 1 John 5:1-10. I don't have it on the screen. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father God, this morning, we're opening up 1 John again. And we're going to be talking about confession and repentance and how important those things are as believers. And Father, this morning, I pray that you would teach us, that you would love on us, Father, and that you would motivate us and move us into a closer relationship with you. And I say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you. So this morning, I'm getting the PowerPoint up here. I'm trying something new today. Hey, go figure that one, right? Is it up there, Bob? There we go. And in the front too. There we go. Okay, good. Prove it. Right? So last week we started a brand new sermon series called Prove It. Prove It. And in this sermon series, we saw that a Christian's life should be living proof of their connection to their Father, right? Okay, I got one amen from Russ over there. Doing good, Russ. Doing good. I'm going to take my coat off. Getting nervous. But no, really, a Christian's life should be the living proof of their connection to the Father. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend a few weeks ago, and we were talking about what it means to be a Christian. And this person said to me, well, I mess up all the time. I'm not proof. God doesn't want me to show who I really am, because people will look at that and say, oh, there's just another hypocritical Christian. And I said, yes, but every Christian's like you. The key is that we seek forgiveness and we seek confession and forgiveness, and we show that and exhibit that to this world, the people in this world. And that's what makes us believers stand strong and tall and straight and narrow, so to speak, right? That we show our vulnerability. Another thing we talked about is that you can say it with your mouth, but the evidence is where? In your actions. In your actions, right? You can say it in your mouth, but the evidence is in your actions. And lastly, the Bible without the Spirit leads to a dead, institutionalized Christianity. Ouch. The Spirit without the Bible leads to groundless fanaticism. We need both the Spirit and the Word to effectively adventure through the Bible and through life. All right? Prove it. Prove it. So this whole series is kind of like where the rubber meets the road, and how we as Christians can actually show the world who our God is by how we live, what we say, how we act. You know, I was listening to a book last week, and I think I may have mentioned this, where the author said, you know, when you meet somebody, let me paraphrase this. He says, when I meet somebody, I want them to feel like they just met everybody in heaven. It's not so much what you say as who you are, right? Because people aren't going to care about what you say unless they see who you are. And we are ambassadors for the kingdom. Amen. So this morning, we're going to kind of go through 1 John. If you get your Bibles out with me, we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to go through and I'm going to show you on the screen here this slide. And we're going to read through it together. Oh, my glasses on. I can't read that from the back over there. But I have it right here. That's good. So go ahead and go to 1 John 5 in your Bibles. On your smartphone, Pew Bible, you're going to need it this morning. And what we're going to do is we're going to read through this here again, because it's important that we do that. Everybody got it? You got your Bibles there? So it says here, this is the message we have heard from who? From him. Put a thing there, right? And proclaim to you that what? God is light, and there is no darkness at all. If we say we have what? Fellowship with him, but we walk with in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, because we know that God is light, right? According to what the first verse said there. We have what? What do we have if we walk in the light? Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, amen, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is what? Not in us. But if we confess our sins, double underline that one, he is faithful and just to do what? To do two things. To forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, boy, John keeps saying this over and over and over again, we make him a what? A liar, and his word is not in us. You know, here's the reality this morning. When we're in a relationship with God, when we walk with God, we should be moved to confess our sin. Amen? To seek forgiveness. I know we don't like that sometimes because it's uncomfortable. Because we like what we shouldn't like. We do oftentimes what we shouldn't do. And there's this struggle. Don't worry, it's been ever since Adam and Eve. Welcome to planet Earth. And God's desire for us is to turn away from a sinful life. So we claim we've walked with God, but can we prove it? Can we really prove it? The way we handle our sin, listen to me, the way we handle our sin is evidence of our fellowship with God. Oh. Obedience and doing things for God does not save us. Obedience and doing things for God does not save us. You're worrying me this morning. There was a survey that I did when I was in Keene as a youth pastor. And we asked the kids, this was in 2009, we asked the kids a bunch of questions about salvation. One of the questions was, does keeping any of the Ten Commandments help me get to heaven? You know what the answer of 80% of them was? Yes. If you go and you ask people in the community today what they think of Seventh-day Adventists, and the people actually have an understanding a little bit of Seventh-day Adventists, if they do, they will actually most of the time say, well, you believe you have to keep the Sabbath to be saved. Do you have to keep the Sabbath to be saved? Some of you look confused this morning. What saves us? Yeah. So obedience doesn't save us, but it does reflect a changed heart. Do you see that? It does reflect a changed heart. You know, if we look at some other verses here about what does it mean to be in the light, we see that when Jesus spoke again in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said what? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So in other words, John's saying that you and I can possess this light that Jesus had. Amen. We can have this light. Going on to another verse in John 12:36, it says, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become what? Sons of the light. So there's this concept again about the light that we can have, right? And then going to Ephesians 5:8, it says, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you're in light of the Lord. Walk as children in the light. And you know what I like about walking? Because John in the epistle, 1 John, says the same thing. Walking is an ongoing action. If you're walking, you're always involved. So if you're walking in the light, what does that mean? Your life is a walking example of Jesus. Amen? I love that idea there. So if we go back to our main text here, and we see that in the text here, in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we what? Walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. I underlined it right there. Oh, so does this mean what I think it means? I'm trying to be theological here. I mean, like, maybe I'm not. Does this mean what it says? Yes, but you have to define, and we will in a minute, what practicing the truth means, right? Because some people have a different definition or idea of what it means to practice the truth, hence the questions that were asked to the Academy seniors at Keene Adventist Academy. Going on in verse 7, though, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with who? With one another. So this one another, does that mean with you and me, or does that mean with God? I mean, where is John going here? Well, let's go back one verse here, and let's look at 1 John 1:3, back a few verses actually. It says, John says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with who? With us, and indeed our fellowship is with who? The Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. So if we walk in darkness, we don't have fellowship with God, and it's hard to have fellowship with one another. But if we walk in light, right, we have fellowship with God. So walking in light is conditional. It's conditional that we have to remain in fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus covers us from our sins, right? So if we walk in light, if we walk in the light, there's two things that are happening here, right? Number one is I'm going to circle it here, we have fellowship with one another. And number two is we are cleansed from all sin. Now, I'm going to stop here because this is deadly serious. If we're not cleansed from all of our sin, guess what? We're not getting to heaven. If we're not cleansed from all of our sin, there's a problem. So what does it mean to walk in the light? I'm not here to talk about perfectionism. I don't believe John is talking about perfectionism here. It can't mean sinlessness, walking in the light. If we're sinless, there would be no sin to cleanse us from. Do you see that in there? If we're sinless, there's no sin to cleanse us from. So if we walk in the light and the blood cleanses us from the sin, therefore, hang on, sin must be happening in the light. That makes it explicit. If we say we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves. Twice he says that. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. John is so emphatically not a perfectionist book. He's bending over backwards to say, I don't mean when you walk in the light, you must be perfect. Because if you were perfect, there wouldn't be any sins to cleanse. And I wouldn't say if we had no sin, we deceive ourselves and make him a liar. Because he says that. So John, in three ways, three different times, is saying, I don't mean walk in the light is perfection. It's not. So what is it? What does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean? Our salvation hinges on this concept, right? There won't be any cleansing of sin without it. There won't be any fellowship with God without it. Well, if we go, I'm going to go with you to 1 John 2, 9 and 10, a little bit ahead here. And I want to read this verse. It says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. So we could say that to be in the light means you have to love your brother and sister, right? Means to walk in love. That's part of the concept, to walk in love. But the main thing here, the whole enchilada contextually is right. Let me see here. It's on the screen. Is this part right here? This is walking in the light. Yes, it's brotherly love. But this is the contextual answer of walking in the light. And that is, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. So walking in the light involves fellowship with God and fellowship with believers, but going to God to be cleansed from what? Unrighteousness. That's the central contextual answer to walking in the light. So John's making the case for sanctification as a community pursuit. He tells us not to hide our sins in verse 6. He says we should walk in the light and have fellowship with one another in verse 7. And then he says we have to confess our sins and we have to be honest with our sins if we ever want to be cleansed from our unrighteousness. So, you know, confession is sometimes difficult. Sometimes it takes people years, a lifetime. I've seen people on their deathbed confess things they never said their whole life. But why wait till death? Because God has something big right now for you. Through the cleansing power of his blood and the righteousness he offers us, that freedom is way better than waiting. It's way better than waiting. You know, when we confess, we're really doing three things. We're admitting our sin, saying, God, I admit I've got issues. This is my holdup. We're appalled by our sin. Sometimes we may not be, but we need to ask God to give us his heart and his desires. And number three, we're aware that God's grace is greater than our sin. You know, going back to the text here, it says there in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've said this before and I'll say it until the day I die. We're so good at going to God and confessing. God, I'm sorry. I did A, B, C, D. I broke your law in this way. I did this. I'm doing this. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is. Forgive me. Yes, God forgives us. But as it says there, God wants to do what? He wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to, it's like having a pantry in your kitchen and there's a bunch of junk in there. And when you go to God, you say, God, forgive me. And he says, I do, but I want what's inside the pantry. Give it to me. I'm going to clean it out and I'm going to put some good stuff back in there. Stuff that'll blow your mind. But we hold on to it. Oh God, you can't have that. That's who I am. That's how you made me. That's what I like. Sugar, whatever. Yeah. Okay. But God says, no, you're my masterpiece. Let me have my way with you. Let's move some things out of the cupboard and put some beautiful things back. And guess what? It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. So let's not forget that part as we go to God in confession and we realize that, yeah, God just doesn't want to forgive us. He wants to do so much more than that. But I'll be frank with you this morning. Sometimes it's hard to believe that God can actually make a change in us. Sometimes it's hard to believe that God can actually give us his desires. Sometimes it's hard to believe that God is actually able to do what he says he's able to do in our own lives. Sure, he did it in the pastor's life, or sure, he did it in, you know, Jamie's life, or whoever it is. But he can't do that with me. No, he can and he will. And he's able. He's able. But the one thing that it hinges upon is our belief. And even that is a gift from God. So going on, I got a little off tangent there. I'm sorry. There could be several reasons why people would be reluctant to confess and deal with their sins. It could be pride, right? It could be they underestimate God's grace and they fear they've messed up too big to be forgiven. Too big to be forgiven. They could be afraid of judgment from the church, from people. They might be embarrassed that they've been dealing with the same thing for years and years and years and years. But here's the thing. If having a walk with God will cause us to deal with our sin, then the inverse is also true. When you're unwilling to deal with your sin, it will affect your walk with God. Did you hear that this morning? Don't think you can put it back in the closet and just be okay. Guess what? It affects your relationship with God. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Inversely. So, walking in the light is, number one, is a transformation to be like God, who is light and love, and exhibit that towards the people that we run into in our lives. And number two, walking in the light is when you fail to love, because we're all going to walk out of here and fail, right? If you're not, you can get up and preach then. Is recognizing that when you fail to love, you see the light, because he's there guiding you, and are led to confession and to experience the cleansing power of God. That's what walking in the light is. It's being transformed day by day by day. And allowing God to do that and saying, amen. Today is a new day. What I'd like to do now is, I just have a few questions for you all this morning. Thad's going to come up with a microphone, and I'm going to get Russ to come up with a microphone as well up here. If you have a, here, I'll just phrase this here. Please talk into the mic. please talk clearly. And if you have a answer to one of the questions or a question itself, please ask that. And also, if you've spoken up in the past month, I want to let you to let somebody else speak. And it's okay if we have silence in here for a while. But if you've spoken up in the past month, I'd like you to let somebody else speak. Okay? So number one, what's something that stood out to you from this message, this epistle, or what's one question that you might have? Just one thing. Russ, they have to raise their hand.
So I guess my question is, when you talk about wanting to be cleansed.
Yeah.
So when we're each in the light, that can mean different things to different people. So how do we know individually if we are in that light that John talks about?
Good question. How do we know if we're in the light that John talks about? Well, if you look at the verse, right, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, we should be exhibiting love to those around us. We should love our brothers and our sisters. And if we have issues with that, then we need to go back to God and say, God, my heart is I have this problem with sister so-and-so or whoever, and I need your help and your guidance. I need to go seek forgiveness or whatever it is might be. That's one thing. The second thing, how do we know if we're in the light, is that we're going to God with our problems and our sins. Because I know I've met people, not here, but I've met people that say, well, I haven't sinned in 10 years. Okay? Come on. We know we mess up on a daily basis. And so it's going to God and saying, God, I've messed up, but I know I'm still in your good grace. Because that's the kind of God you are. And I'm coming to you saying, God, I want you to work with me. Can you help me? And so I think being in the light is being in a relationship with God, exhibiting that, as the Bible says, to our brothers and sisters, and to confess when we need to confess. Does that kind of go there? Anybody else? Question or a comment? Just one more. Come on. One more. Oh, right here. Front. Great question, by the way.
That the light doesn't shine on us to shame us. It shines on us to show us a better way. And he wants us to come to him and get that forgiveness.
I think that's huge, because so often it's God doesn't want me to do this or be this or do that or do this. And that's not the thing. God wants us in relationship with him. Mm-hmm. That's what he's after. And any sin that he defines puts a block wall between us and God. And it's difficult to navigate. So one more over here, and then we're going to go to the next question.
On that note, sin is separation from God. That's what sin is. And sins are the fruit of being separated from God. So keeping that relationship with him, focusing on him every day.
Thank you. Okay, next question I have for you is, how is our relationship with God affected by, our relationship with other people? How is our relationship with God affected by our relationship with other people? What do you guys think? That's a hard question, isn't it? Lynette?
Well, in the Bible it says to not, I'm going to paraphrase, but to not miss going to church. And at first I thought, you can worship God at home. Why is that important? But I find that when I don't go to church for a long time, I miss it. And I do think that being in relationship with other people who know and love God too strengthens your relationship with him. Just having the support and reminding you of the ways that he loves me just strengthens my relationship with him. It reminds me to go back to him every time when I need to ask for forgiveness or when I just feel bad about myself, like the song that Pam sang this morning. Thank you for that, Pam.
Thank you.
It just helps me to be stronger.
Amen. Thank you. Community is vital. It's necessary. Anyone else? How is our relationship with God affected by our relationship with other people? One more back here.
I think it goes the other way around, too, that if we have this close relationship with God, we will have a better relationship with other people.
And that's what I just preached.
Pardon?
You're preaching the sermon. Keep going.
Well, I was just thinking it's a two-way thing, and also sometimes our fellowship with other people brings us closer to God. Well, it always does.
It should. Closer to God. Yeah, it's an inverse reaction. It totally should, and that's what he's saying here in 1 John, that you know when we're in fellowship, you and God, guess what? The fellowship with the people around you should be sweet. It should be encouraging, right?
That's what Max says all the time. It's a two-way street.
That's right.
Two-way avenue. I paraphrase.
So one more question. What does confession look like? Over here. Gabrielle.
Acknowledging your sins and taking ownership as well as asking for forgiveness at the same time.
There's one more thing that goes along with that you get with it. I didn't ask the question, but you get the forgiveness, and then what's the second thing? You know?
The acknowledgement.
Taking
ownership. And asking for forgiveness.
And asking for forgiveness, yes. And the righteousness part.
And learning from the mistake that was made.
Yeah.
And changing.
So confession, thank you, Gabrielle. Confession is telling God, hey, this is what I've done. God, before you can finish, he says, oh, you're forgiven, right? And then God wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the part that we need to remember. He wants to cleanse us, and I praise God that he wants to cleanse us.
I have to say this.
Okay.
So I was thinking that as we confess, we are so vulnerable. Okay, I was wrong. I did it. And then you stand in this moment of, am I still going to be loved? And you know that because we've all done that with our partners or your partners or whatever you have. And when we have that vulnerability, there is such a freedom to experience that the Lord says, yeah, that's right. Let's go. I do forgive you. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, and that is the love affair that we have with Christ.
That's very true. One more in the back. Oh, right there. Princess.
There's just so many facets to this whole fellowship thing and our relationship with God and forgiveness that a lot of us get to a point where it's easy for us to confess our sins to God. Mm-hmm. That's a private thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to see that. But the hard part is confessing our sins to each other. And part of walking the light and enjoying that fellowship is maintaining those open avenues to confess to each other and to give grace to each other.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, all of this that we've talked about today, that John has written about, revolves around one thing, and that's the cross. Because if Jesus hadn't have done what he did, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. We wouldn't have access to God, and we wouldn't have the ability to have that cleansing from sin and the ability to be made righteous and to have that transformation. So all of this that we talked about today, summed up, when we confess, when we love each other, we're going with the framework and the mindset that Jesus' death and resurrection is what accomplished all this for me. Amen. Oh, we do. And that's the thing. When we confess, we need to be remembering what he went through, why he went through it, and what we have access to because of his death. And we should say that. We should say, man, God, you loved me this much that you went through all that for me? Absolutely, he says with assurance. Absolutely, I love you this much. And I want to be with you for eternity. That continually brings me back to my knees day by day. And I hope it does for you too. I'm going to have the praise team come on up and we're going to sing a closing song. If everybody could stand, we're going to sing this song, Amazing Love. If you don't know it, you're going to get to know it because we're going to be singing it for the next several weeks as we wrap up. So please stand with me.
Forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you.
Amazing love for us. And this week, as we close, I just want to tell you about two events that happened, or are happening. One's happening and one happened. One event was this week, I got a phone call that Terry Behrens was in the emergency room. And Terry had a bit of a heart problem, and they had to do a procedure on her. And praise God, everything went planned. And she woke up and walked out. And we are praising God this morning that he's a God who answers prayers and does amazing things. The other is an ongoing thing right now, and we're gonna pray for him right now. You all know Polika that comes here. He's done the cooking seminars. He's having surgery right now. Over at Marion, he has a back herniated disc, really bad herniated disc. So I'd just like to praise God for Terry, but also pray for Polika as we close out. And pray also that we go to God and we confess and we talk to him. Because that's the first step, right, is acknowledging where we're at with God. So let us bow our heads. Father God, I thank you so much for another Sabbath where we could come and worship, where we could walk beside each other and walk with you. And Father, there's a lot to praise you for this week, all the interactions we've had with you and with others. And Father, Terry is just a walking miracle this morning, of a testament of your abilities and your wondrous love. Father, I'm so thankful that you brought her through that procedure. What a scary time. But God, we know that you're in control and that you saw it through, and we praise you for that this morning. Father, we ask that you continue to be with Terry and help figure out any other things that may need to be done, and just guide her and the hands that are around her. Father, I also want to pray for Polika this morning as he's going in for surgery. I just pray that your hands would be on him, would guide and lead the doctors, and with his family as well as they deal with this. Father, we know that you're able to do mighty and great things, and we praise you in advance for what you're going to do in Polika's life with his family and his work and everything that revolves around that. Give him the confidence that you're there, the assurance that your healing powers are available, and just bless him, Father. And Father, we just want to be in relationship with you this week. And what that means is we want to go to you, even when it's hard, even if we haven't talked to you in a while, perhaps, to go to you and say, God, this is where we're at. This is what I need to confess and get off my heart. And God, you promised me that you'll forgive me and you'll restore me. And you'll give me your righteousness. And Father, that's what we desire. Because we realize that we all mess up, but we want to be those people that are walking in the light. So take us out of the way and put Jesus there. And Father, just bless us today. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. You guys have a great Sabbath.